Interview conducted between Alyssa Nielsen, N-I-E-L-S-E-N, and Sylvia Wilkes, W-I-L-K-E-S, in Victoria on Wednesday, November 16th, 2005. So, Sylvia, could you just tell me where and when you were born?
I was born in Arlington, Sussex, England, on April the 25th, 1926.
So how old were you when World War II broke out?
I was 13.
13. So were you old enough to contribute to the war effort at that time?
No.
Okay. So when you were in Sussex, I guess you weren't evacuated like a couple of the other participants.
No.
No.
We had evacuees come there.
You had evacuees come there. And what was that experience like?
Interesting, you
know.
Yeah. But they didn't stay long because then we were in the line of bombing and so they were moved.
They were moved, so, but you weren't evacuated even though you were in the line
of
bombing?
No.
No. Okay. So, when did you meet your husband?
I was 16 when I met my husband.
Oh, okay, 16. So, and what year was that in?
I figured it out. So I was 13, 16, 3 years.
So 3 years after the war started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And can you tell me a little bit about how you guys met?
We met at a train station.
Oh, really? Okay.
He was going one way and I was going the other, and we were on the platform. I was with my aunt, who's just a year older than I am and who also married a Canadian, and here we were arguing whether to go into this little cafe on the platform for a tea, and I didn't want to go in because it was just masses of troops everywhere. And I was kind of shy, so I said no, I wasn't going in there. And so we were standing there arguing, and this soldier came up and said, "You don't have to go in if you don't want to," and that started it all up.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
So how did you feel about him when you first met him?
I didn't really think about it, like, you know. And so then his train come along, and he said, "Will you come tomorrow night?" And I thought, I didn't know if my mother would let me or anything. And so I asked by, and so she said, "Okay." So he said, "We'll meet you here tomorrow night." And so we go to a show. And so that's how that started. And he went his way. Oh, and he called out in as he was getting on. He said, "I don't even know your name." So I told him Sylvia. So that was it.
Oh, really? And how old was he?
He was 24.
24, okay. And was that age gap okay? And how did your mom feel about that?
She never thought anything about it.
No.
Well, she didn't know about him for quite a while.
Oh, really? So how did you keep it from your mother?
I didn't tell her. We were just fine. I would just go into a show, like, you know, to this little place called Lewis. And
okay. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So how much later was it when you got married?
We didn't get married until 45.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. After the war.
Yeah, after the war. Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your wedding like?
I was very lucky because, you know, we had coupons and stuff for clothes and stuff, so it was hard to get clothing, like for dresses and stuff. But my family and friends collected together and we got material and I had my dress made. And mother knew somebody, because rationing, you couldn't get cakes and things, like, you know, and catering to this thing. But I had quite a nice wedding, considering it was wartime.
Mm-hmm.
After the war, like, you know, still rationed.
Yeah.
And so I was very lucky that she knew people that we could get things, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it would have been a similar wedding to your mother's wedding?
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was also very popular, very common at the time to be having weddings, like everyone was rationing, so it wasn't uncommon for you to have that.
No.
So, did you know that Canadian soldiers had to request permission from their commanding officers before they got married?
Because ours didn't come through, and we thought we weren't going to be able to get married. And then Jack got after the officer, and in the end we had two permissions. the other one come through, then you know.
So what held your permission up originally?
How do you mean?
Just was there a reason for it, or was it just timing?
I don't know why it was. No, I don't know why.
Okay.
I know he was concerned.
Yeah. And do you know why they had to request permission?
I think it was to make sure you were serious about getting married. It wasn't just frivolous, like, you know.
Yeah, because I guess a lot of people were getting married at that time. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember having to wait a 2-month waiting period before you got married?
Mm-hmm.
So you had to wait.
We had to have blood tests and all kinds of things.
Blood tests? Mm-hmm. Why did you have to get a blood test?
I guess to make sure you were healthy to come to Canada.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you had to wait.
They really screened you.
Yeah, you waited 2 months,
mm-hmm.
and you had to get permission, mm-hmm. and you had to get a blood test. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you feel about that?
Well, you just matter of form. I mean, if that was the rules, that was the rules.
No. Okay. You didn't feel bad about having to get screened?
No.
Okay. And did you know of anyone that was denied that couldn't get married?
No.
No. Okay. We talked about the military's dependents allowance earlier, but you don't really remember that.
No.
So did your family approve of your future husband?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I liked him.
You talked, you spoke a little bit earlier about your mother-in-law being a war bride as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and where was she from originally?
Birmingham.
She was from Birmingham, and then she moved to?
Abernathy.
Abernathy, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you eventually lived.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how did the people in your community feel about you marrying a Canadian?
Well, fine, because different girls were marrying, you know, Canadians. Like my next door neighbor married a Canadian, and she went to New Brunswick, I think.
Was there any like resentment towards marrying Canadians? Because I know British men were away mm-hmm. at war, and a mm-hmm. lot of British females were marrying Canadians.
Not to my knowledge.
No?
No,
okay.
No. I didn't hear of any.
Mm-hmm. So was there a time during the war when you and your husband were apart?
Not when we were married.
Not when you were married.
We were married after the war.
Yes, so you were married after the war. So mm-hmm. when you met your husband and you courted,
mm-hmm.
and then he went away to
mm-hmm.
war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what was that time period like while you were away from each other?
Well, we corresponded, like, you know.
Okay.
I still got his letters.
Oh,
some of his letters.
Some of his letters, yeah. And were they censored?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you had to be careful what he wrote.
Yeah, so what kind of stuff would be censored out of his letters?
Well, he was careful what he wrote, but you knew mm-hmm. there was a stamp on them that had been censored.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess places...
Anything would be blacked out.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And when did you ever get a letter that parts of it were blacked out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess where he was or something like that, you know.
Okay, yeah. And how long was this time period between when you were courting and then when you saw him again?
About a year and a half.
A year and a half. So, when you saw him again, how did you feel?
Fine.
Yeah.
Excited.
Yeah, he looked the same.
Yeah. Well, he was wounded. Like, I have to go back a bit because when war ended and we were celebrating, you know, on May the 8th, and here we were so happy that it was over and he was fine and everything, you know. As to our knowledge, but he was wounded on May the 3rd, and he was in hospital at that time, and I didn't know that. If I'd have been married, I probably would have known it, but not married, you don't get news, like, you know.
So how was he wounded?
His carrier blew up.
Mm-hmm.
One of his best pals was killed, and two were killed, and he got shrapnel in the arm and in the head.
Arm and a head, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So how long was he in hospital for then?
Gosh, it's time to think, because not being married, you don't hear much about it, like, you know, but I've never thought about this before, and so I can't think of the time, how long it was, but it was quite a while before he came, I saw him, like, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got married in 1945,
mm-hmm.
and when was your... When was your first child born?
June 46.
June 46,
mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was Neil, right?
Pardon?
His name was
Keith.
Neil? Keith.
Keith.
Okay, fantastic. And so how did you decide to move to Canada?
I didn't decide. I mean, it was just automatically you go with your husband.
You go with your husband. And you mentioned before that he thought about staying in in Britain.
I don't know why he did, but I guess it's because his English background, like, you know. And he thought, well, and I guess he knew what things were like back here, you know, because he didn't, his parents were on a very small farm and they knew that he couldn't stay there, he'd have to be on his own. So maybe that's why he thought. And of course, he wanted to work on the railway over there. I had an uncle worked on the railway and he was talking to him and he thought he'd get a job there. But I didn't think it was such a good idea.
And why didn't you think that?
Because I thought, well, we should come to Canada because they could pay for us, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And if we wanted to go back after that, we could see what it was all about. I felt he'd be sorry that he did that, you know.
And did you ever look at coming to Canada as a kind of adventure?
No.
No?
No, it's a kind of, I don't know if you call it a duty or love or what.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So how did your family feel about you leaving Britain and coming to Canada?
They never said too much, but I imagine their mother was very upset. But she helped me get ready, like, you know, get things ready to come.
And did you find it was an emotional experience leaving your family?
Oh yeah, especially when we had to do it twice.
Yeah. And then, so could you tell me a little bit about leaving? Did you know a long time in ahead that you were going to be leaving, or was the notice quick, or how did
it? It was fairly quick.
Okay.
Because this was getting towards the end, there wasn't many war brides left to come, like, you know, by that this time.
Yeah.
They were by November, it was when I first started out. By November 46, most of them were over here by then.
Okay, and then, so your child would be 5 months old at this time, and you traveled with him at 5 months. What was that experience like?
Rough, because I was so sick on the, yeah, on the ship.
And did you worry about him? Okay. But you mentioned there was a lot of children on board.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of children.
Okay. So were these mostly children that had been born previous to the war, or children that had been born
during the war?
During the war. Oh, okay.
Or after, like me, like, you know.
Yeah, or after. Okay, so you mentioned that one woman had, like, a whole family of children.
It seemed like grown-up children, it seemed to me.
Oh, really? Okay. Was that a scandal for her to be married and being a war bride and having so many children?
No.
Was that common?
No, it wasn't common, no.
So most of the women that were war brides that you saw were women that had got married and then had children, not in this case where she may have had children before.
Yeah.
Okay, so most
maybe her husband died during the war or something, you know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So before you left for Canada, how did you feel about moving to Canada? How did you feel about the experience?
I can't think that I thought anything, really.
Okay. And what did you think Canada would be like?
I don't know. I'm that kind of person. I just take things as they come, like, you know, and I kind of, you know.
Okay. And
Jack didn't tell me that much about it.
Oh, really? So did you know where you were going to be living?
Excuse me. Pardon?
Did you know where you were going to be living?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No. Because things happened so differently when we did get over here with Keith going in the sanatorium and stuff like that.
Okay. So, we just talked about your voyage over here, and what was the reception like when you got here?
Very good.
Very good, okay.
Yeah, the neighbours and stuff were very nice and made friends with people.
So if you could guess, how long do you think the entire voyage would be from you leaving England to you arriving eventually in getting off the train in Regina? How many days do you think?
I should have figured that out. I think we're 13 days on the water and 3 days on the train.
Okay, yeah. So over 2 weeks of travel.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you feel when you arrived?
Off that train, dirty.
Dirty, okay.
You know, you wanted a shower, you wanted a bath, and you showered. Bath in those days. You wanted a bath, you wanted to, and you know, get your clothes all clean because, you know, after traveling like that.
Were the conditions on the train poor?
Not bad, not bad.
Not bad, okay. Mm-hmm. And the conditions on the boat, were they poor?
No, well, I don't remember too much about it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the food was wonderful, but couldn't eat it.
Oh, yeah, because you're so sick. So what did you do about your seasickness?
Nothing.
There's nothing to do?
No.
So you were just sick every day?
Yeah.
For 13 days?
Ooh.
Wow. Okay. And do you remember any of the other people on board specifically?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell me about a little
there's
bit about
one
that?
There's one, she lives in Alberta, and she was the one that helped me. She didn't have any children, and we still correspond. Doreen, she was Christofferson at the time, and she helped me with Keith and looked after him and helped me on deck and stuff like that.
Okay. So was there a sense of community amongst
everyone?
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Because I guess they were all
in the same boat,
same
as you might say.
Yeah. So people were helping each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those that had children mm-hmm. were being helped by those who didn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And we talked a little bit earlier about landing in Canada, and you got a soldier to help you with
mm-hmm.
your child.
Mm-hmm.
And did everyone get?
Somebody, yeah.
Yeah, they got somebody to mm-hmm. carry their child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or luggage or whatever. Because, I mean, you had your hand luggage as well as the baby. Like, you know, it was pretty awkward.
Yeah, okay. So could you tell me about that experience about landing and of being met by these soldiers?
Well, they didn't come up until after we'd been through all the custom, like, you know, and that took a long time, and it seemed a long time because, you know, but as I say, it was a dirty, as I remember it, a big, great big dirty shed with wind blowing through because it was so cold in December, and that's all I remember of that.
So this experience, you coming over to Canada and then being fairly disillusioned by the dirt and that sort of thing, what was that like for you?
I don't say it was that dirty, but it seemed dull. I guess it's because it's December and it was the weather and everything else. It made it, and the shed was so big and, you know,
yeah.
so cold.
Yeah. So did you feel at that point, ooh, I've made a mistake?
No.
No, not at all?
I wanted to get going.
Good. Okay, so after 16 days, you arrived in Regina,
mm-hmm.
and you saw your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And when was the last time you'd seen him?
In August.
And it was December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd stayed there for the experience of you having
mm-hmm.
your child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Okay. And around this time period, the Canadian government was distributing booklets? Do you remember getting one of these booklets?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm
okay,
mm-hmm.
And do you remember the content of the booklet?
Just different. It interpreted what the English way of saying things and the Canadian way of saying things and things like this, like, you know, because you say things differently. And so it was that, and there was a cooking book. And what else was there? That's about it, I think.
Okay, so did you find that it was useful to have that?
I don't remember using it much.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay. So why do you think that they gave out these booklets?
To help us, I guess.
Yeah.
And no, interpret the money, like, you know, the money was different. But my husband cross at me because I just hold my hand out and say, take what you want.
Oh, really?
When you went to the stores.
Did you find there was a lot of things to adjust to once you arrived in Canada?
Not much, no.
Okay, it was similar for you.
Because me coming to an English family,
yeah.
things were kind of the same.
Okay.
Like my mother-in-law being English, it was kind of the cooking, and she did things still mostly English way, like, you know,
And we were talking about you living in Sussex in your early years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the difference between how you were brought up and how you lived while you lived in Saskatchewan?
I don't quite know how you mean that.
Was there a lot of differences in your everyday life? Like as far as like the utensils you'd use in the kitchen or like how your transportation or that sort of thing?
Well, transportation was a lot different when I came to Saskatchewan because, I mean, you had to go with sleigh box. Never seen one of those in my life. So.
Oh, really? Okay. So what was it like the first time you saw that or the first time you had to?
I thought it was exciting. I was young and, you know, ready to take part in whatever was coming, like, you know.
Okay, were there any other big changes like that?
Melting water, melting snow and ice for water.
Okay.
You know, that was eye-opener.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, on the farm there, they had an animal hanging up in a bin. And you'd slice a piece of it, bring it in. I mean, we never had anything like that, the way they kept things and they preserved things. So I mean, we chopped every day. Well, not every day because we were in the country, but, I mean, we didn't have to stock up like you did on the farm, like in Saskatchewan.
Okay.
For the winter, like, you know.
Yeah, you'd have an opportunity to go shopping back home. But
in the canning and everything else was all different. Like, you know, we didn't can fruit and stuff over there like we do here. Well, we don't know, but I mean, we used to on the farm.
And you just said that for water, you had to bring snow or ice inside and melt it,
mm-hmm.
and that's your only source of water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the winter.
That was very different.
In the winter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, how did you do laundry then?
Sometimes by hand, and my mother-in-law had one of these old-fashioned washing machines.
With the children, I guess there was a lot of laundry.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't have disposable diapers.
Yeah.
You had cloth ones, like, you know.
So did you have to melt all the water and then
mm-hmm.
wash?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That must have been very
mm-hmm.
labor-intensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you arrived, where did you live?
I lived with my mother-in-law until the Easter, which was April, I think. And that's when I left. Because my son was in the sanatorium and my husband was in a hospital in Regina, and so I said I was going to visit them for Easter, and so I visited the sanatorium first because that was on the way. Trains only went once a day, so I mean, you didn't have much chance of getting out, and so I went to the sanatorium and they were short of help. So I thought, well, that's a good idea, I'll get a job. So I went up to Regina and visited my husband, told him that I had got a job at the sanatorium, and I never went back. They sent my clothes over to me. And
So what was the house like that you lived in with your family-in-law?
Very small, yeah. It was just like two rooms divided into four with this partition, and it was very small.
Was that different then?
Oh yes, much different.
Okay. And were those, would you say that was typical living conditions for other war brides coming over
to
Canada?
No. Okay. Well, different ones had it different because some went to the cities.
Yeah.
And some got wartime houses, like my aunt who married a Canadian in Brandon. She got a wartime house, like, you know.
Could you explain that to me, a wartime house?
It's what was built for the troops when they came back. And they were quite nice, you know.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They had preference of those.
And who would have got a wartime house?
A veteran.
A veteran. So mm-hmm. your husband was a veteran, but he didn't get one?
No, because they didn't have them in Abernethy, like, you know, okay. Or, you know, if we'd gone to Regina, maybe we would have got one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we were just
the cities got them.
Oh, just the cities. Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just talking about you going to the sanitarium because your son was there.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was 5 months old, that's when he
mm-hmm.
went into the sanitarium. And you got a job there.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me about that experience?
That was good because you know, not having so much rations down there. There was so much food there, and I was working in the kitchen, like, you know, and so there was food everywhere, it seemed, no shortage. And and I made good friends there, like, you know, of my own age, so it was interesting.
And what about the experience of your son being in the sanitarium?
That was heartbreaking. When I took him down there, I thought I was just taking him down there to be checked over, not realizing I was leaving him. I didn't understand the doctor was sending him down there to be, you know, taken to be there. And so I said, aren't we taking him home? No, we've got to leave him. So that was heartbreaking.
So he was there for 2 years?
Yeah, and for 2 weeks we were told not to come back, get him, let him be adjusted to living there, and us being adjusted to not having him, like, you know. But it just happened. We went back to Abernethy, and there was such a blizzard that the train stopped for 2 weeks. So we couldn't have gone anyway.
Oh.
So, and, of course, the first reaction when I went back to see him after the, when we could get through after the 2 weeks, I went to pick him up out of the cot, like, you know, out of the, call it cot. Mm-hmm. And, oh no, you weren't allowed to touch him, like, you know. And so, you know, he had to.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you got a job there. Were you ever scared of contracting TB?
No, I never thought about it, no, no.
And were there any restrictions on, like, interacting with your son or with the other patients?
How do you mean?
Were people worried about your health, about you contracting TB?
No, it didn't seem to be, no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what was your job like, your original job working in the kitchen? Could you describe that to me?
Oh, we filled the trays. The food would come up and we'd fill the trays and send them down to the different floors.
Mm-hmm. So
we weren't in with any of the patients, like, the food was okay, like, you know. And then they'd come back and we'd put them in the dishwashers.
Okay. So what type of person would be a patient at this sanitarium? Was it specifically for children or
for
everyone?
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. And were there different wards specifically for children?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So could you describe the experience of going into the children's ward?
There was all kinds there, all ages, of course. Some were walking around, some weren't. Because bed rest was the main thing for getting over TB at that time. I think things have changed now. But bed rest was the main thing. And so the children, it was fine, you know, kind of. They had to be kept in their beds mostly, like, for bed rest. There was lots of bed rest. Mm-hmm. They had teachers come in and teach them, keep up with their schooling. Those were older, like, you know.
And then after you worked at the kitchen, you got a second job.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me about that job?
That was in the dietary part. And Miss Biden, I think, was my supervisor. And I had to deliver supplies to different floors, fruits or something like that, like, you know, different things. And that was neat because I was able to see Keith every day. And that was good. I could only see him through glass. I couldn't go close up to him. But I could just look in and see him, like, you know, and that was satisfying.
So how often did you see him before this job?
Only twice a week.
And why was that?
Because there was restrictions. Like, you know, if you worked there, you'd had to get a pass to go and see him.
Okay. And why would you think that they would put that restriction in?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay, but your husband was allowed to see him as often as he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But you only twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this was a positive step, this new job.
Right.
Okay. So how did this affect your life, you not being able to have, like, an everyday access to your son?
Held it up, really, you know, because that's all you're devoted on, is getting him better and getting him out and getting on with their life, like, you know.
So what was your home life experience like at this time?
How do you mean by that?
Did you live with your husband at this time?
Mm-hmm. When he came out of hospital, we got a little house close to the sanatorium, and it was a really nice house right by the by Echo Lake, and it was beautiful, like, you know. And we got the house, as I say, a house there, and Jack got a job, and so it was fine. It was like a resort community.
And would you say that your life revolved around your son in the sanctuary, or did you have another life outside of that as well?
No.
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 It was just more held up.
Mm-hmm.
So when was, when did you have your second child?
Ask me these questions. I have to stop and think. Robert was born, what would be 5 years after Keith.
5 years after Keith.